views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show is coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. I am Chris Danis, and I'm the host of the Voices of Women Show, which airs on the Transformation Talk Radio, and it's an honor to be a guest host on the Dr. Pat Show here today. We're going to be talking about the feminine energy needed now for social change, and I have some amazing guests who work in the Seattle region for making it a better place on our show today. We're going to focus on an event we're doing at the Women of Wisdom Conference, which is February 12th through the 16th. And we're doing an event that's about the leaders of the Northwest, circles of inspiration for social change. And my first guest is a key person in this event for us, as she's going to facilitate the day. It is Susan Partnow. She is a senior organizational development consultant at Swedish Providence Health Systems, and has enjoyed being a catalyst for positive change for over 30 years. So her impressive list of accomplishments include co-founding Conversation Cafes, Let's Talk America, the Compassionate Listening Project, Global Citizen Journey, and Seattle Restorative Justice. She has a passionate commitment to social transformation, peacemaking, and community building. And Susan especially enjoys transforming conflict to creative change using the Restorative Circles, Open Space, World Cafe, and all those amazing processes. She is the author of Everyday Speaking for All Occasions and co-author of Practicing the Art of Compassionate Listening. And you can find out more about her by going to her website, is susanpartnow.com. And like I said, she's going to facilitate this workshop event at Women of Wisdom. It's going to happen Sunday, February 15th. And part of the day, we're going to have women leaders from the Seattle region who are very active in social change, and we're going to have these little, we call them Jane Talks. It's our version of TED Talks, so it's Jane Talks, to share the work they're doing in the world for positive change. And so we're going to have several organizations sharing their work, and we're also going to have a dynamic dialogues using open space, and it gives people a chance for them to offer and propose topics and questions that they want to explore that, you know, looking at the various things that we're wanting to improve in our world. And so Susan's here today to share with us about this, these dynamic processes and why the need for this event is so important. So welcome, Susan.
Thank you. I am so excited to bring this afternoon to the Women of Wisdom Conference. I'm just noticing the 23rd annual. That is impressive for sustainability in our world. And for me, it's just such an important time for us to bring the wisdom of women, the power, the energy, the leadership into our world. So I'm delighted that the leaders of your conference have taken a leap of faith to open the space on that Sunday afternoon for all of us women to step into our leadership. I'm such a passionate advocate for dialogue, and while I love listening to wise teachers and going to sessions, and I love all the brilliance and wisdom you bring to our community, I'm excited that in the circle we create that afternoon, we will each of us bring our own wisdom and propose our own topics and talk about what is it we need to share and how can we connect and find what's needed and each other to move forward with that in our world.
Yes, and yeah, it's so perfect with, you know, one of our missions is to promote and support women being leaders and to acknowledge that we are all leaders. Well, first, I want to ask you, what so inspired you to, because you've been at this for 30-some years, what inspired you to work for the social change and come up with these, you know, and you co-founded, so you didn't do this alone, all these amazing processes, World Cafe, Compassionate Listening Project, all that. What inspired you to do that?
That's a question I asked myself, and I also, as I heard you read that, I realized I think it's more like 40 years. The years go by. There's something in me. I think I noticed part of your mission is the interrelatedness of all things, and I have such a strong sense of that in my being, of who I am. I am we are me. And all my life, I have so much thought of the needs of the whole. So I felt called, and as I've developed more skills, more relationships, more understanding, it's evolved over the years. So there'll be, it's, I think, in a way, always the same thing that I'm manifesting, but in a new network or in a slightly new form as, in response to changing conditions.
So, well, you mentioned relationships, and so I'm curious about that because I think, you know, that it's, you know, the fact you co-founded is that we don't do this alone, you know, isolate our own homes and come up with these ideas as well as when we do it with like-minded people or people who are also interested in change. And so I know a big part of what you do is developing those relationships.
Yes, and it is hard work, but it is such important work. I think it was the Dalai Lama who said the next Buddha will be the Sangha, which is the circle. So we need to learn to work together. Things are too complex to do alone. And besides, it's no fun. So I enjoy working with others. I'm so clear. I have certain gifts and strengths, and I have a lot of blind spots and weaknesses. So I absolutely need partnership and collaboration in all that I do. It's interesting. I think of my long-term partner in Compassionate Listening. Andrea Cohen and I have been co-teaching together for, oh my goodness, I don't know, 10, 15 years. And it's been a challenging relationship. We're very different, but we totally appreciate each other and have been such great teachers for each other in that. And it's really been a model and the living reality of Compassionate Listening in that work.
That's interesting because, you know, sometimes you think you have to get with people that you are just, you know, in sync with, that you don't have conflicts or problems to work through. And actually, it's nice to have that counterpart, you know, that brings new perspective. Pushes your buttons and allows you to think differently.
Absolutely. A lot of our work is noticing and managing your triggers. So we have been great teachers because we do trigger each other. You can tell I love to talk. I have a lot of energy. I'm a big extrovert. And Andrea is much more an introvert, more reflective, more inward. So we think that's a great gift for the circle when we teach together because everyone's different, and so they get a very different energy from us. And then we do our work together in front of the group. If we are triggering each other, we process it right there. So we're really modeling. Yeah, peace is not holding hands and singing Kumbaya. Peace is learning, really, to live with conflict. My teacher, Dominic Barter, the founder of Restorative Circles, he talks about conflict being an invitation. Move towards it. That's where the learning and the transformation can happen.
We so want to avoid that. You know, everybody hates having a conflict. It's just, you know, you cringe, you sit back in your seat when you see a couple of people going at it in a meeting. And I've experienced that too. And yet, you're right, it is a great learning experience. And building the trust, though, sticking with it, the longevity of staying with that process is worth it.
I so agree. And I think that is what we need to learn as women, so we can bring our wisdom. If we're afraid of conflict, if we're averse, and I think, you know, the Northwest has a real reputation of being conflict averse, and the Northwest nice, nice does not allow wisdom. So how can we be powerful, strong, and compassionate, strong and soft at the same time? And I'd say of anything, that is my my passion, is conflict. Conflict is good. Dane and Terry, the founder of Earth Stewards, used to say, conflict is a cry for intimacy. It really means, ouch, I'm feeling disconnected. There's something not right. So it's really a call to move into it, to discover and explore at the deeper level what's really yearning to be expressed here. What is the greatest, deepest quality or value that is not being met? And that's where the pain or the conflict comes. But if we understand it at the deeper level, there we meet, there we connect, and we can dissolve the differences and invent and create something that can meet what we are both yearning for.
Oh, and it's so exciting when you do it. You know, it's like in the midst of it, it's you know, it can be a horrible feeling, but getting through, when you reach kind of that, after that turning point, you know, it becomes exciting, and you just have to push through to that, and it's great. Well, let's talk a little bit about, I'm going to be going to a break. I don't want to bring a new subject in. But you were talking about Compassionate Listening Project, and that's what we're talking about, is being compassionately listening, going through these processes of conflict, bringing in compassionate listening is what gets you through that, because then you're in a place of truly listening. You know, they have this saying, we have two ears and one mouth for a reason, and a lot of times people, you know, just talk too much. They're trying to push their viewpoint forward and not listen. And we can learn so much by listening more and speaking less. We call it, as I do this circle way with Christina Baldwin, attentive speaking and intentional listening and attentive speaking, or it's vice versa. I can't remember. I guess it's one or the other, but you know what I mean. Well, this is Chris Dana, so we're going to take a quick break and come back and talk more with Susan Partnow.
Great.
Tune in to Sheer Alchemy with Leslie Fontaine on TransformationTalkRadio.com and get ready to stir up your passions, remove your blocks, and shift into an entirely new existence. Speaker, teacher, channel, clairvoyant, Leslie Fontaine is a transformation catalyst who channels a powerful energy from Source to catapult listeners into living the life they were born to live. Whether it's shifting from scarcity to abundance, from emotional pain into joy, or from illness into health, Leslie will help you step into the true essence and power of all that you are with the help of the Ascended Masters and Archangels. You will not be the same. Visit TransformationTalkRadio.com for show dates and times, and LeslieFontaine.com to say yes to explosive abundance.
Grateful patients have been saying it for 25 years. When in pain, see Dr. Thane. Dr. Thane of Wellness One of Bellevue has been named one of the nation's top chiropractors by the Consumers Research Council of America, and for good reason. He has helped his patients recover their energy and vitality after car accidents, sports injuries, herniated discs, fatigue due to stress, the list goes on. The website is bellevue.wellnessone.net. When in pain, see Dr. Thane. That's bellevue.wellnessone.net.
Baby, I'm all about it, baby. Staying up late just to pass the time. And your pants don't like it when you are getting high. But I'm all about it, baby. I'm all about it, baby. I'm not a rapper, just a singer with a game plan. I play guitar, no need to worry about my dreams.
Well, welcome back to Dr. Pat Show. I'm Chris Stanis, the host of Voices of Women, and we've been talking with Susan Partnow on the importance of having conflicts and getting through them and working some amazing processes such as compassionate listening. We were beginning to talk about that. So, Susan, tell us a little more about this compassionate listening project that you work so passionately about.
Yes. The part that I am passionate about is the practice of compassionate listening, and we say it is a practice, and it's my personal practice to really develop myself, and it begins with listening within. so that we can heal our world from the inside out. So if I don't have compassion for myself, self-care, then I am not able to be fully present and loving and accepting of others. So we do a lot of personal work, but it's all so that we can then bring it out into the world. So our first practice is compassion, cultivating compassion, and then it's developing what we call the fair witness, which is a sense of mindfulness and being aware of my own triggers I am feeling conflict, so I can unpack it and manage it, and then I'm ready to develop respect for myself, take care of myself, but also respect others and not rescue them falling into that drama triangle. And as I do all of that work, I'm now able to be present in the world and listen compassionately from the heart, we say, with spiritual ears, beneath the story. And then I, most importantly, can also show up and speak from the heart, speak my truth without judgment, with a healing intention. So they're really powerful practices, and our work's very experiential and develops a beautiful circle of safety. And I was just mentioning during our break, we just did a 2-day, so I feel the impact of it right now. My heart is so open, and I'm so much more present to myself and therefore can be to the world. And I invite everyone to join us. Our next one will be in April, the 18th and 19th. Get a dose.
So where would they go to find that out?
They could go to the Compassionate Listening Project website. I'm sorry, compassionatelistening.org. And the calendar there will show them that next session.
Yeah. Well, I love it, you know, that you're talking about, you know, it's with heart. It's touching in, one, for doing our personal work, and two, really paying attention to what, you know, the heart, what are we feeling? Mm-hmm. And to be in that compassionate place, we have to be compassionate to ourselves first before even others.
Yeah.
You know, there's always that, well, we want to be compassionate to others, but you got to have it for yourself.
Absolutely.
And yeah, and to listen from that place. And, you know, so often, you know, you're in a group and you see this and you see yourself do this too, of like, you're not fully listening because you're thinking of what you want to say next, what you want to add to this conversation, what you
mm-hmm.
want people to hear from you, you know, instead of really listening to what others are saying. Sharing, and then sharing from that place of contributing to what everybody else is talking about.
Yes, yes. It's really in the moment. And it actually, because I know we want to talk a little bit about the open space, I just realized the connection between them. So just like in my personal listening, I don't want to anticipate or already think I know the response, because if I am present with you and listen to you, it's a new moment. It's transformed. I know something new, and it's all fresh. So now it's time to respond from that place. And that is the power of open space. And I think the power of how it can help us manage, transform, create the way to move through conflicts and challenges in our world, because it brings us together in the moment. So when we were first talking about this last fall, if we had set the agenda of what the topic should be, well, we were all in a different place. So we're going to co-create the agenda that afternoon. Whoever comes will be the right people, because we will talk about what we find is most important and calling to bring the wisdom of women into our world for transformation. And we'll know what it is that's called for in that moment. So everyone in the circle will be invited to check in with themselves. What do you need for us to talk about? What has to happen here to really feel like we're on the right path? And so anyone can offer a session, whether it be a question or something they have to offer. And, of course, not everyone will. We'll have juicy topics, and then you'll get to choose where you want to go. For that session. So one of the big ideas of open space is truly learning if there's an issue or a problem, it's calling for attention. So all we need to do is literally open some space, talk about it, so we can bring our wisdom and thoughtfulness. So that's the process that we will use.
Yeah, it's so exciting. And it really fits in with Woman of Wisdom, because we're all about that. You know, it's will be a talking circle format as you go into your groups of, you know, so someone, correct me if I'm wrong, but someone will stand up to the whole group and offer, you know, I want to talk about this topic, I'll be over here in this corner, and then everybody can circle around and choose a place, topic to go explore, and then in that, circles will form where they have a talking circle talking about that topic. So everybody, even if you're not the person bringing in, you know, this topic, you are also part of co-creating the discussion.
Absolutely. Exactly. That is it. It really unleashes the wisdom, the power, the energy of everyone in the whole room. And that so excites me, because think of the wisdom and heart and depth and passion and energy that we will all bring. And this will help us come together and discover ways we want to work together.
Yeah, so give some examples of you know, there's many uses for this, like groups or organizations or, you know, political structures. Have you seen it used in a place where, you know, either you're dealing with an issue or you're wanting to create what's our purpose, what's our program, or different way? I can see different ways to use this open space for a lot
Absolutely.
Of different purposes.
Yeah, we say if you have a big problem and you need it solved yesterday, this is the way to do it. The key is to invite, is who do you bring together? And if you get the right people in the room, trust them. They will find the solution. They know what needs to be talked about rather than, so in the workplace, it's brilliant, I think. You know, instead of the top-level leaders who are kind of remote from what happens on the floor, instead of them setting the agenda and trying to figure it out, they invite all the people involved in the work, and they come together, and they figure it out together. So it's a real transformative, emergent way of empowering and unleashing the wisdom in the system. So you can use it to solve problems, create designs, create a shared vision for the future, empower your community, bring everyone together. Can you imagine right now if we could bring all of our citizens together, the North End, the South End, our police, our whole community, our leaders, and our youth, if they could all come together in a circle and each of them get proposed what needs to be talked about and keep working it in the what our true open space is 2.5 days together. So the first day, there's a lot of, it seems like chaos, but by the end of the day, we start to emerge. What is this really about? And then the second day, you really get to start to cook it and work it. And it's an amazing process to witness. It works every time. I love it. And it is fun.
And out of that, there are, you know, solutions. They're co-created, but amazing solutions come from that versus, you know, again, it's like you say, the leaders at the top don't always know what's happening down on the floor, that everybody is part of this process, and everybody has a voice. That's what I love about it.
Yeah. And they're part of the solution. So it's my solution, so it's actually going to happen. It's sustainable rather than somebody creating an initiative, and then there's all the frustration because it doesn't get implemented. This is created by those who are going to carry it out. So hopefully that we'll see a little of that in our tiny little, you know, we're not really, in a way it's using some open space methodology, but it's just too short to truly give us the power of that modality. In fact, I'm just thinking of a friend of mine who loves open space, would be really annoyed that we're even calling it open space because it's not the whole fledged 2.5 day, but it we are at least using some of the brilliance of it, of the self-organizing agenda. And
we don't know what might come from it. Each group, you know, with all these little talking groups and different topics, from that, something may evolve to future meetings.
Mm-hmm.
They may want to create a study group on a topic. They may want to make an initiative to go out and do something, get involved with another organization, because we're going to have some organizations there. We're hoping to have some social action groups. There's so many in Seattle, it's amazing.
Yeah.
What happens here. And so there's a lot of potential for outcome after this event.
Yes, there is. There really is. That's exciting to think of, a new cross-fertilization. And we like to bring surprising elements together. You know, in chaos theory, we talk about it's at the edges of different ecosystems that new life forms. It's the most emergent. And that's what's exciting me, that Women of Wisdom, we're hoping to entice and invite people who don't usually come. So bringing together the flavor of the very kind of spiritual, inner self-exploration and energy-oriented women with those who are a little more activist, let's do it. So a little bit of the yin and the yang within the feminine. What happens when we bring us all together? And one of the things we always say with any open space is be prepared to be surprised.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Susan.
Yeah. Okay. We have to go to our break, but I just want to invite people to check out on our website, womanofwisdom.org, for our schedule of the conference. And this event is going to be Sunday afternoon, February 15th. It's called Gems of the Northwest, Circles of Inspiration for Social Change. And we're looking forward to having a very dynamic group. So thank you. And
great. Looking forward.
Great. Thanks.
Bye.
Hello, my name is Dr. Friedman Schaub.
Negative self-talk plays a major role in how we create fear and anxiety. You're probably familiar with that worried, insecure, or critical voice that rises from somewhere deep inside, often at the most inopportune moments. You don't seem to choose the limiting, anxiety-triggering, or self-sabotaging thoughts, nor do you seem to be in control of them. Over the years, I've found that rather than ignoring or suppressing these negative thoughts, what works best is to redirect the mind with at least three counterbalancing arguments that shed light on the opposite, positive points of view. For example, if your negative thought was something bad will happen, counterbalances could be, right now I'm okay. There have been many times I was worried and everything turned out well. I have the strength and abilities to handle anything that comes my way. Positive counterbalancing is training your mind to search for and find uplifting and empowering perspectives for any given situation.
Step into more inner and outer leadership in all facets of your life. This means being the CEO of your own destiny. Imagine a life of what you say goes. Lynn Brown, the host of Winning at the Game of Life, is going to help you activate the power in being present, owning your space, and harnessing all of your energy during her full-day workshop, Own Your Leadership, Own Your Life. Get ready to own your body, your relationships, your work, and your life. Lynn and co-facilitator Wendy Wolf have teamed up for a body and spirit experience that will transform you forever. Every person will receive 2 20-minute sessions of body or aura work, amazing content, and a full 1-hour healing session with Lynn or Wendy. Lunch is included. Space is limited. Sign up early and get an additional 20-minute session included. To register or for more information, contact Lynn at ruintuit.com or call 844-BE-INTUIT. Workshop is January 31st, 9:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. in downtown Bellevue.
Hi, this is David Zarza.
And Philip Zarza, and we're the Sophisticated Guys.
And we're here with your tip of the week.
Want to begin to develop your own intuitive skills? It's easier than you might think. Make it a deliberate practice for yourself this month to trust your intuition.
For this week, or for a real challenge these next 28 days, make an effort to follow every single hunch you have. Heed every gut reaction, no matter what it is.
Journal for yourself about the intuitive experiences you have, and remember to highlight any validation about them after the fact. Soon, you'll become an intuitive powerhouse, able to make even better decisions in the moment.
And if you want to really build your skills, get my Psychic Gym Handbook or attend a Psychic Gym event. For more information or to schedule a session, visit davidzarza.com. That's davidzarza.com. Or call 206-920-9409. Once again, that's 206-920-9409.
welcome back to the Dr. Pat Show. I'm Chris Stanis, and I'm guest host today. My show usually is Fridays at 1 o'clock on Transformation Talk Radio called Voices of Women. And I'm the founder of Women of Wisdom, and we are having our 23rd annual conference coming up February 12th to the 16th. We're very excited about, and I'm having a couple of guests that we're having a very special event. We've been talking about, we were talking with Susan Partnow earlier. She is facilitating the event. It's Gems of the Northwest, Circles of Inspiration for Social Change. And my next guests are two women who are going to be part of this event, too. Birgit Kayali, she's been involved with Women of Wisdom since the beginning and is one of our council members, and I'm working with her on creating this special event on Sunday, February 15th. And then we also have Sarah Tacola going to be on the show. And she is an environmental and social justice student activist and environmental science undergraduate researcher at the University of Washington. She's a Merck Fellow, Mary Gates Scholar, and a McNair Scholar. And the activism she has been involved with spans all different fields, from climate change to racial inequalities, with a common thread of justice. And she's one of the co-leaders of Divest UW, a group working to get the University of Washington to remove its endowment from the fossil fuel industry stocks. So far, they've succeeded in moving $25 million into renewable energy stocks. So welcome, Birgit and Sarah.
Hi. Welcome. Hi.
Hi. So, Birgit, I'm going to start first that you and I have been part of, you know, creating this vision for this event, and just want to chat a little bit why this is so important for women to be leaders for social change.
Right now, we're at a turning point, and a lot of the old ways of doing things aren't working, and I believe that women, with their different view of things, their more complex view of how things work, can really make a difference. Also, I think women will operate more from compassion than from just economics. So I have some real strong feelings it's up to women to make changes in the world right now, and that they have the right, the ability to make these changes. We are now seeing more and more young women standing up and saying, no, we won't do this anymore. And it is part of that I find very, very exciting, because I've been seeing this for many, many years, that we needed to go this route.
Yes, it is exciting. I know I've been meeting some of the millennials and 20-year-olds, and I think for us baby boomers, it's exciting to have this intergenerational collaboration.
Yes, it is. And that intergenerational collaboration, we can each share our gifts, and we have things that we know, and they have things that they've seen, and we can work together and make major changes, I believe, in the world.
Well, you having met some of the young people, what do you see as different from their approach?
They have no question about what they believe, and they're going to do it. I have a daughter like that. I've met Sarah. I've been at the Bioneers Conference, and I was so impressed with these young women who really don't question what they're doing, and they're not going to let anybody get in their way. They don't take that put down that women have had so many generations. They don't accept it, and they move forward. They have energy, and they understand the bigger picture.
Yeah, that's great. Well, Sarah, I'd like to have you come in and share with us what's your passion and what motivates you, or you know, what got you started working in the help and the issues that you feel are so important, which tend to lead in the environmental issues.
I guess it started kind of like the way I was raised with my family. I remember my mom, she's a nurse, but she also works for the union. And I remember her from a young age bringing us out to the protests for everything ranging from like health care for all and workers' rights. And so just kind of being raised in that setting, and then just with a strong like love for justice. And that's kind of where I have found myself with the environment. You know, it really no one can speak for it. No one, you know, it has no, if we don't stand up for it, no one will. And that's kind of where I find myself in a lot of the work that I do around justice. It's usually, you know, speaking for those who are not being spoken for. But, yeah.
So I would love to talk more, too, about, because you're a college student, and what you see from your age group, what role you think students can make to make an impact on the changes that we're wanting to see in our society. How do you see them contributing?
I think that we have a lot of power, and not a lot of people realize this. For me, what kind of helped me realize it was while I was in community college, I started this student activist club, and this was around like 2011. Occupy was a really big thing, and I remember, you know, we wanted to do something. We wanted to make a difference. And we were fighting, you know, to stop the student debt crisis. But we wanted to do something on our campus. And so we decided that the lunch prices in the cafeteria were too high. And we created a petition. And we just started everyone. We got everyone to sign the petition. And then I was able to get a meeting with a cafeteria officer, and we were able to change the lunch prices. And it didn't take too much effort, and it made all of us who worked on the project realize if we put our mind to it, we could affect change. And yes, this was just a small thing on the campus, but for me that made me really realize, and I've applied that to everywhere else, if we put our mind to it, we can really affect change. And I don't know if a lot of college students know that. You know, there's, I think, a lot of apathy, but I think that once students realize the power that they possess, that it's a very powerful thing that could be awakened.
So it's really coming together and finding a common issue that you want to work towards. How have you... When you do those, how do you communicate to come to a decision, you know, and because I'm sure there's a lot of varying viewpoints and disagreements, or, you know, what kind of processes do you use?
In coming together to make a decision on what?
Well, whatever it is, your the purpose of the group, whatever, you know, that you're working on, how you do come to your the stance that you're going to make, you know, how do you come to agreement?
I would say in most cases, depending on the situation, it's usually a democratic agreement. You know, whichever idea has the most supporters behind it, and then the group will kind of follow that. There usually isn't, you know, usually we will agree on the idea, but then the way of doing it, which way, is usually where there's disagreements. And I think a lot of times we just, if we can't try to do all of them, then we try, you know, just by democracy, you know, majority rule.
Oh, did we lose Sarah? I can't hear her.
No. Hey. Did you hear that? The last question?
Sarah, this is Fergus. Did you say that it's because of you make a democratic decision?
Yeah, and we try to hold by that.
And so do you do a talk, like in Women of Wisdom, we do a talking circle format where everyone gets to share their viewpoint and come to some kind of a consensus to get that agreement. Do you see it that way?
I definitely have found that, we've tried different styles, and I've been in a lot of different activist circles. A lot of times, some of the newer activists, you know, they're afraid of replicating the structures of power that haven't worked before.
Yes.
And so they don't want any hierarchy. Sometimes I find what happens when there isn't any hierarchy, that, sometimes, it's no longer democratic, and it's really the loudest person wins or something, you know, the most vocal person. So I feel like you know, when we try to go by democratic, you know, majority rule, that works. But it's also important, and we try to take this into account, because if we let it, a lot of times those marginalized voices within the group sometimes become silent. And this is something that we are aware of, and we try to make sure that, you know, the quieter people get their voice heard.
And oh, that's actually, right. Yeah, that's how it's given women of wisdom. Well, we need to take a break right now. This is the Dr. Pat Show, and I'm Chris Stainis, and we'll come back and talk more with Sara Tocola and Burgess Kaeli.
Be a leader as a way of life. Reclaim leadership over your domain with Ascended Master Moses. Meditation workshop led by Wendy R. Wolf and Lynn Brown. Friday, January 30th at the Key Center Building in Bellevue. Live out your unique and significant role in this lifetime for the betterment of your soul as well as the universe as a whole. Come practice opening to your inner voice. Be the difference only you can make in your world. To register, go to healgrowshine.com or email Wendy at wendyrwolf.com.
Always inspiring and uplifting, Brenda Thine spreads love and light wherever she goes. Enlightening, empowering, and encouraging readings, Brenda connects with your guides, angels, fairies, and loved ones who have crossed over to provide you with the highest guidance possible to enable you to live your highest truth and maximize your potential. Always light-filled, a session with Brenda will have you feeling wonderful, centered, and ready to take on anything. Schedule your session now at BrendaThine.com. That's Brenda, T-H-Y-N-E.com.
What if there was no right or wrong way to be a great parent? Join Access Consciousness Facilitator Glenna Rice as she and Dr. Pat invite you to be the questionable parents you truly are and empower you to know and give the awareness required to create ease and joy with your children. Join Dr. Pat and Glenna as they focus on parenting for the modern family. Tune in every month to the Dr. Pat Show on air and online at TransformationTalkRadio.com.
What does a dentist of the year get? A little plaque. Welcome to Smile Big, where we offer cosmetic, restorative, and preventative dentistry. Dr. James Rosenwald and Dr. Susan Abdenard work hard every day for their clients to be happy to smile with the latest equipment for complete smile restoration for anyone. The sooner you call, the sooner they can help. Call 425-454-4040 or email scheduling at smilebig.com. You can even visit our website at smilebig.com.
How confident do you feel about your retirement? Ask Ameriprise financial advisor Jeff Packman about the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach. Together, you and Jeff can break down retirement planning step by step to get to the real answers you need. Call Jeff Packman, financial advisor, today at 425-453-0272. Office is located at 601 108th Avenue Northeast, Suite 1800 in Bellevue, Washington, 98004. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, member of FINRA and SIPC.
Tune in to the Angels and Answers Psychic Radio Show with clairvoyants Artie Hoffman and Sky Siegel every Thursday for a two-hour show, 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio. Artie and Sky deliver spiritual and motivational messages with passion and a sense of humor. Call in 800-930-2819 for live and on-air readings. Visit ArtieHoffman.com and SkyOfAngels.com.
Welcome back to the Dr. Pat Show. I'm Chris Stainis and host of the Voices of Women show every Friday on Transformation Talk Radio at 1 o'clock Pacific Time. We're talking about a very special event we're having at the Women of Wisdom Conference this year. It's going to be Sunday, February 15th. We're calling it Gems of the Northwest, and why we pick Gems of the Northwest are these women leaders that are very active working towards change, and so we're going to have an open space. system of being able to share. Anybody can bring issues that they want to talk about, and so it's a co-created event. And we're also going to have what we call Jane Talks, and we'll have some women who are active doing amazing things here in Seattle and internationally. And so that's why we're having Sara Tikola here today on the show. And so, Birgit, I'd love for you to share. Sara was sharing how they work on, and democratically and coming to decisions. And I love what she was saying about people, the quieter voice, kind of being marginalized, and how you bring that forward. That's such a, we work so much with that, too, in Women of Wisdom. So I'd love for you to share a little
right.
bit about that.
Yeah, Women of Wisdom really does believe that everyone has a gift to offer. The quieter ones have things to offer as well as the loud people. And we believe that everyone's voice needs to be heard because we believe that we're all part of the circle when we're involved in an area such as a change we want to make in Women of Wisdom. And we have been really encouraging that that all the voices are heard for years. And as a result, we understand that it's not about us deciding who has the right thing to say. It's about listening to everyone. And that requires that openness. And I believe that openness that Sara is talking about, making sure the quiet people are heard, is part of a feminine way of doing things. It's not about hierarchy. It's about really including everything. And we're good at, as women, at moving from one subject to another. So we can do it. We can listen and we can act and we can bring in many different points of view. And that different point of view is what's going to make a difference in the world, because we include all points of view in a sense. We're willing to allow for varying beliefs, varying points of view. That's to me is the clearest way to describe our belief that empowered women can make a difference.
And yes, and so we're going to bring this into this event where everybody
yes.
is going to have a chance to share and talk.
Exactly.
We're going to have talking circles. Anybody can put a sign up and say, I want to talk about racial justice. I want to talk about the environment, a variety of topics, whatever topic you want to bring to this event, you can come bring, and you'll get to share it with a group. Like, I'm interested in this subject. Come, I'm going to be over here in this corner. And then there's going to be a talking circle where everybody gets to share and participate in that discussion. So it's a very dynamic way to have these discussions. And Sara Tikola is going to be one of our Jane Talks. And Sara, let's hear a little bit from you about, the research, the activism you do. And I know it's related to the research because you're researching, climate change and a variety of things. So I'd love for you to share the work you do.
Yes. So I guess when I first came to the University of Washington, I really thought I could stop climate change through science. And it became revealed to me that climate change is much more of a human communication problem, and that we're not communicating this well, and that's not really going to be done through science, although I still engage in that in a more academic way. I started becoming involved with the on-the-ground grassroots work. And this is where I find really you can affect the most change. And so I became involved with Divest UW. We're trying to get our school to stop investing in the fossil fuel industry. I work with other groups like 350.org, Seattle, and a few other groups. And I found that, through the grassroots work, through putting on, panels and protests and all sorts of different avenues to bring people together and to be talking about this, that we were really starting to affect more change. As of recently, I've been involved in the Black Lives Matter movement. And what I found was that there isn't a lot of diversity in the environmental movement. And so now, as of recently, I've been really trying to join the two and making people realize why, by climate change, really affects marginalized communities the most, and why this is something that we should be concerned about. Because if we're concerned about the direct killings of Black people, then we also need to be concerned with the slow, insidious killings through environmental pollutants. So coming up, I'm going to be giving a workshop at Rainier Beach High School about kind of how climate change affects marginalized communities the most. It's going to be called Fighting for a Healthy Hood. And just kind of trying to connect the two movements is really something I found important right now, because there's so many struggles for justice, and we're all coming out because we care. But if we were really able to connect and realize that we are all kind of fighting the same things and the same issues, I think that we could become a lot more stronger and more solid. And so that's the work that I've been doing as of recent.
Yeah, it's finding the commonality, instead of, focusing on the differences between all the different groups. It's what's the common theme here? What's our common purpose that we really want? Well, I'm curious, because you're talking about the climate change impacting the people who are more marginalized, and I'd love for you to share a little bit more about that so we have a little more awareness of that.
Yeah, so... Well, we can start with, on a global scale. There's this really kind of sad article that came out. It was a research publication about the people that are dying in 2000, the year 2000, because of climate change. And they showed the different continents. And when they looked at the continent of Africa, and when they look at the region of Southeast Asia, we're looking at Southeast Asia has a rough amount of about 2 million people are dying every year because of climate change since the year 2000. In Africa, it was about 1.5 million. And in South America, it was about 1 million. But then we look at how many people are dying in the Western countries like Germany and U.S., and we're looking at the thousands instead of the millions. And so it became very quickly aware, well, no wonder we're not doing anything about climate change. It's not affecting, the Western world. And so these are the poorest countries who are least responsible for climate change are the ones that are most impacted. But then on a smaller scale, we can see, for example, Hurricane Sandy and Hurricane Katrina. And we can see how, the minority communities were the last to receive aid. When there are natural disasters, and climate change brings more natural disasters. And if you have less wealth, you're less able to protect yourself from increased natural disasters and the other things, more hotter days and colder winters. So those who are marginalized and those who are already suffering are going to suffer more.
Yeah, well, that's interesting, and it is something to be aware of. We are kind of isolated here and aren't always aware of how things like this impact people around the globe. Well, thank you so much, Sarah, for being here today, and Burgess for joining the show.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, we look forward to meeting you, Sarah, at the conference. And again, this event is February 15th. It's an afternoon, a longer session from 1 to 5:30, and we're going to have some very dynamic talks by women such as Sarah and other women, Christina Orbe from Feast, who works in the schools of teaching kids about food and environment and sustainability. And so just go to our website, womanofwisdom.org, and check out all the offerings we have for the conference this year.